start us off today, I want to read us a story from the Gospels. So this is from Mark chapter 2. And it's a really interesting story as we talk about discipleship. So let me read it for us, starting in verse 13 here. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. So obviously discipleship, a big part of it is following Jesus. And really this call that Jesus offers to each of us is invitation, follow me. And I think this is such an interesting and such a compelling story because it's so abrupt, isn't it? Jesus walks up to this guy. It doesn't really seem like they know each other. This guy, Levi, he's clearly a tax collector. He walks up to him and he says two words, "Follow me." And what does Levi do? He doesn't ask more questions. He doesn't debate it. He gets up, he leaves his old life behind, and he follows Jesus. And that is such an interesting and a compelling story, isn't it? It's kind of strange if you think about it. Like if a random stranger walks up to you and says, "Follow me," I really hope you don't do it, honestly. That's a bad idea, right? This is such an odd and an interesting story. And people kind of speculate, like, did they talk beforehand? Like, did he kind of know Jesus? But it doesn't really seem like he does. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he talks about this in one of his books. And he's kind of talking about this story, and he says that Levi gets up and immediately follows Jesus because it is Jesus who calls. And because it is Jesus, Levi follows at once. Levi, I don't think he was just this gullible guy, right? I think he followed because it was Jesus himself that offered him the invitation. Because we're not just following someone random or something random, but we are following Jesus himself. And that is who we are a disciple of. So this is Jesus' invitation. Follow me. And it is Jesus that's inviting us. So what is discipleship? What is this thing we talk about? Discipleship. It's such a churchy word, and sometimes we use it, but do we really know what it means? I say it all the time, maybe you're sick of it. Discipleship, it's not a list of things that we do, it's who we're becoming. It's not a list of things that we're not like checking a list, okay, I'm a good disciple. It's who we are, it's to the core of our identity. There's this helpful quote from Mike Breen. He says this, "Discipleship isn't a random assortment of facts and propositions and behaviors. Discipleship is something that is you to the core and is completely incarnated in you." We're not checking a list. Okay, I'm a good disciple now. I did my Bible. So it's not a checklist, but it's who we are. It's deep inside of us. Really, we can ask, who am I becoming in Jesus? It's an identity thing, being a disciple and a follower of Jesus. And as we look at identity, I think it's important to be aware of how we can kind of misunderstand our identity or temptations that can pull us away from our true identity in Christ. We've looked at these before, but it's really helpful, I think. Peter Scazzaro, in one of his books, he lists three temptations that can draw us away from our true identity in Jesus. These are three temptations, and you can pick out which one is most relatable to you. There's this. I am what I do. Think about that. I am what I do. If you lost all your titles, you lost all your, maybe your licensing, you lost what you do for work, who are you? Is that a core part of your identity? I am what I do. Maybe you just, you really, you know, you connect with being busy, and you're like, that's who I am. I'm a busy person. If you take that away, who are you? What is your identity? The second one, I am what I have. Isn't that a temptation? Who are you if everything that you have is taken away from you? All the things that you've collected in your life and all the cool stuff that you have, what if it's taken away? Who are you? Is that a core part of your identity? This third one, I am what others think. It's a huge temptation. I think as Christians, that's a huge temptation. We come to church and we try to look like a perfect Christian, right? I am what others think. I have to try to please people. It's a huge temptation. And these can keep us from our true identity in Jesus. Peter Scazzaro, again, he continues on explaining that we need to break our addiction to doing things. And we need to learn how to be. We need to learn how to be content and to be and to relax, I think, in Jesus. Leaving our false self, right, this, our false self, and embracing our true selves in Jesus. There's some practical ways we can do this, right? I think we can get so caught up in these three things, it can kind of consume us. And I think it's important that we become a people that embrace silence. Maybe a people that slow down a little bit, right? All this, it can be so easy to get caught up in these things, in the busyness of life. What if we as disciples, we learned how to slow down, to look inward, to be a people that can reflect, to be a people that aren't trying to live quickly and get everything done in our life, but can live in meaningful and deep community. And maybe that can lead us to where we can step out of our comfort zone as we follow God wherever he leads us. Church, Jesus is calling us to become our true selves in him. Discipleship, it's an identity thing. It's who we become as we become ourselves redeemed in Christ's image. It's who we are. Discipleship, it's such an identity thing. Really, the core part of discipleship, though, I think is simply our relationship with Jesus. That's where it all begins, our redeemed relationship with Jesus. Discipleship, it can really be explained that simply, this relationship that's fueled by our encounter of his love and his grace. I love Romans 2, verse 4. It explains that we aren't changed by shame or guilt, but we're changed by, literally the word is, the kindness, the goodness of God. That's what changes us. That's what fuels us for this life with Jesus. It's not that we're scared or we feel bad about it. Maybe that starts our turning towards him. But really what changes and transforms us is God's great love and goodness and his kindness. As we enter deeper and deeper into our relationship with Jesus. There's an author named Thomas Ashbrook, and he kind of lists discipleship in two simple steps. And he says, the first step of discipleship is this personal love relationship with Jesus. That's the first thing that we're called into when Jesus calls us to follow himself, is we step into this relationship with Jesus. That's our first calling. So I ask us practically, do we take time to know Jesus personally? I think we're really good at adding tasks to our lists, right? Building to-do lists. We're really good at that. It's like even really good things, right? As Christians, it's like, okay, I read my Bible today. Okay, I went to Bible study this week. Okay, I came to church. These are really, really good things, but those are not the end goal. Right? Those are not the end goal. Is the end goal of all of these things our relationship with Jesus? This is what he calls us to, this loving relationship with himself. And I wonder, can we mature to the point spiritually where our sole desire is not things that Jesus has to offer us, but where our sole desire is Jesus himself? Think about that. Not just what can Jesus give me, but Jesus himself. I want more of this relationship. I want more of you, Jesus. This is the core of our discipleship, our relationship with him. I think we can get so tempted to just want things from God. We can kind of start to see God as a bit of a vending machine, I think. God, I want this. God, I want this good job. God, I want this promotion. God, I want this blessing. And these aren't necessarily bad things. We should ask God, but do we want God himself? Do we want a relationship with him more than just what he has to offer us? And we could think of this practically in like all relationships, I think. Right? Like if you're married, you don't just want what your spouse has to offer. My wife Zoe makes the best blueberry scones. They're unbelievably good. They're like every birthday, all I want is blueberry scones. I don't want a cake. I don't want anything else. They're so good. But that's not all that I love about Zoe, right? I want a relationship with her. And it's so obvious when we talk about it practically, but sometimes don't we see God like that? We just want what he has to offer us, but do we want God himself? This relationship with Jesus. A.B. Simpson, in an excellent sermon he gave once, and it was also a hymn, it was turned into a hymn, he says this, "It is not the blessing, it is not the healing, it is not the sanctification, it is not the thing, it is not the it that you want," right? It's not what God can offer us, but he says, "but it is something better. It is the Christ. It is himself. I don't just want what God has to offer me, but I want Christ himself." This relationship with Jesus is the core of our discipleship. So are we developing this relationship? Not just, did you read your Bible today? You know, check that list. Did I pray today? Check that list. Not just trying to be a perfect and a good Christian, check that list, but intentionally pursuing an intimate and deep relationship with Jesus. This is our first calling as Jesus invites us to know him. And there's practical ways we can do this, right? All these things are good, praying and reading the scriptures. There's different practices throughout church history that we've looked at, right? We've learned the prayer of examine before. You can engage with a spiritual director. You can talk to a pastor. You can maybe with your disciple groups, you can talk about how can we dive a bit deeper into this discipleship thing. These are practical ways that we can deepen our relationship with Jesus. So we're going to kind of keep explaining what is discipleship, but in its simplest explanation, it's a redeemed relationship with Jesus. And if we want to know Jesus more, I think it makes a lot of sense to try to live like he lived. To actually look at the life and the ministry of Jesus and think, how did Jesus live his life? And how can I connect with him as I know him more, as I live like him? I always think back to Philippians chapter 2. This beautiful chapter that describes Jesus lowering and emptying himself. You know, Jesus is God, and it says he didn't consider that something to be used to his own advantage, but he lowers himself and comes down as a servant. This is our God, this is our King, the one who goes often in the life and ministry that he lived, he goes to the lowest in society. In Luke chapter 6, I love this passage. Jesus is up on a hill. He's up with his disciples and he looks down and a crowd has started to gather. And it's a crowd that's largely built of sick people, isolated people, rejected people in society, and it says Jesus goes down with them and he stands at a level place with them. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus, he literally in that passage lowers himself with the lowest of society, and there in Luke chapter 6, he tells them that they are blessed. Jesus. And there's so many stories of his life. I think of John chapter 13 where it's the Last Supper with his disciples and Judas is about to betray him. And Jesus knows this and Judas is about to go out and sell Jesus to his own death. So what does Jesus do? He quickly gets up from the table so that before Judas goes and betrays him to his death, he can wash Judas's feet. What does it look like for us to live like Jesus. Jesus, who is the friend of tax collectors and sinners. The one who here in Luke, it says, he came to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recover the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Can we live like Jesus? He lived a radical life of love and of forgiveness, where he pursued those who are the lowest in society. How can we follow him there? How can we follow Jesus in this life of servanthood? And can we know him more in that, as we follow him even to the least of these in our society? And I don't think we have to beat around the bush here. That's really hard. This calling of Jesus is not an easy one. To live like Jesus lived, that is such a difficult calling on our life that we can only hope for through the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus calls us to follow him. And in our own life, we can reflect, what are the luxuries that we're used to? How are we a little bit too comfortable in life? Where is Jesus leading me to lower and to humble myself, like he did? It's the call of Jesus to follow him. So Thomas Ashbrook, who we talked about, he said the first calling is this love relationship with Jesus. And the second calling is to follow Jesus. And this following, he explains it depends really on that relationship. That's why our relationship is the core of it. How deep our relationship is will really show how great our fruit is as we follow Jesus. But this is Jesus's call, that we would follow him. Right, like we looked at the beginning, Jesus, he goes up to Levi and he just says those two words, follow me, and this is his invitation to each of us. Mike Breen again, he says this, at a certain point, the head knowledge from a classroom isn't enough. This is why apprenticeship is so important for the learning process. You can't learn everything you want to learn about discipleship in a classroom, or in a sermon, or in a book. This is something we have to practice and we have to learn. It doesn't happen by accident. This is something that we need to be intentional towards as we become disciples of Jesus. I think a lot of us, we would say we're disciples, right? We follow Jesus. But have we truly been discipled? Have we been an apprentice of the ways of Jesus? Obviously, as disciples, who are we apprenticing? We're apprenticing Jesus. We're following him. And I think that that's important. I often say that the greatest mentor in my life has been Jesus himself, right? We draw close to him and we learn from him, and he leads us and teaches us. But it's also so important that we are apprenticed in the ways of Jesus in community, isn't it? That's why I think it's amazing now we have a spiritual director here with us. Maybe there's mature people in your life who have mentored you in these ways of Jesus. This is so important. This is why we call our small groups disciple groups, right? That we can be mentored and mentor one another, peer to peer, even in the ways of Jesus. This is something we learn practically in our day-to-day life as we journey in one another. Right? We can't do this in isolation, but we do this together. Discipleship, it's this long journey. Eugene Peterson, he has a book, and it's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And I love that. We're not going to be perfect all the time. We're going to make mistakes, but discipleship is something we do in community together as we teach one another and as we learn from one another. Have we truly been apprenticed in the ways of Jesus? Well, friends, Jesus' call is to follow him. I love in Revelation chapter 14, it describes the church as a group of people that follow the Lamb, that follow Jesus wherever he goes. That's a description of the church. We follow Jesus wherever he goes. And I want to look at two parts of this following that I think are really important. Here in Matthew 16, Jesus, he looks at his disciples, and this is what he says. He says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Right, that's a famous verse, but actually pause and think about it, right? We start with this relationship with Jesus, and Jesus, he invites us to follow him, and this is what he says. This is part of how he describes discipleship, that we would take up our cross. The calling of Jesus is not an easy one. This is the great call of Jesus. He doesn't call us to an easy and a simple life, does he? He calls us to take up our cross and follow him. This is the great call of Jesus. Let me read another quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This one's pretty long, but I think it's relevant for us as we talk about this. He talks about these two things: cheap grace, which is when we don't really take this Jesus stuff seriously, and then the true costly grace of following Jesus. Let me read this for us. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. This grace cost God the life of his Son. We are called to follow Jesus by picking up our cross. So we do this. Jesus, he invites us. He says, follow me, take up your cross. So we take up the cross and we give up our life to follow Jesus, and that is a huge calling. And I want to read us another verse, and I think another explanation of discipleship that Jesus gives us. This is in Matthew 11. These are also super important verses. Here, starting in verse 28, he says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus, he calls up to take up our cross and follow him and give up everything. And Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me as I take your burdens. As followers of Jesus, we take up this cross that costs us our life, and we also take up the easy yoke of Jesus that lifts all our burdens. And friends, I think this is the beautiful paradox of following our Jesus. It costs us absolutely everything, and it also gains us absolutely everything. Ray Bonhoeffer said it well in that quote. It is costly because it costs you your life, and it is grace because it gives you the only true life. It's a beautiful thing. We take up our cross, and we also take up this humble, easy yoke of Jesus, for he teaches us and he takes our burdens. So what is discipleship? Something that's really important about discipleship is that it doesn't stop with any one of us. That's my prayer, that it wouldn't stop with us, but if we are abiding in Jesus, we will bear fruit. We looked at that last week. If we follow Jesus' command in Matthew 28, we will go out and we will make disciples of all the nations. This is his call, not just for church leaders or not just for a few of us, but for each of us who follow Jesus, that we would go out to all the nations and we would make disciples. And again, in our community, this is our hope. It's why we have disciple groups, this peer-to-peer disciple making. It's really our hope that we have time and space to be discipled and also to practice the art of disciple making within our community. And that's our hope in our fellowships, in our disciple groups, within our community. Who is God leading you to disciple, to lead closer to himself? So as we've really explored discipleship, this big topic here this morning, Alex, if you could hit the next slide, thank you. What is discipleship? To kind of summarize a lot of what we looked at today, discipleship is a disciple is who we become through our redeemed relationship with Jesus, where we follow him wherever he goes by taking up our cross and taking up his easy yoke. Church, discipleship isn't a list of things that we've done, but it's who we're becoming in Jesus. I wonder today, as we look at this in that kind of twofold way, right, this first calling, as Thomas Ashbrook put it, his first calling is this relationship with Jesus. Where is Jesus calling you into a deeper relationship with himself? Where is Jesus leading us? And practically, I wonder, right, we could think of that like, yeah, I want a deeper relationship. What does that practically look like for us today? And I hope that this is practical for each one of you. You can think, maybe I do want to seek out spiritual direction. Maybe I do just want to spend more time in the Word or more time in prayer, more time in maybe church practices. First, this relationship with Jesus. And as Ashbrook says, the second order calling is to follow Jesus, right? Take up our cross and also to take up that yoke where Jesus teaches us. Have you been apprenticed in the ways of Jesus? Maybe not. Who's someone that's a mature Christian in your life that you can maybe ask? Do you want to walk alongside of me in this? Practically, where is Jesus leading you in these two things here this morning? And today, as we reflect on our identity in Christ, I really want to give Jesus some space to lead us here. So why don't we just have a bit of time of prayer, and we'll have some silence where we can sit with Jesus in this morning. Well, Jesus, we know that you are so at work in our midst. We thank you that you invite us into relationship with you and you invite us to follow you wherever you go. Right now, I just invite you just to reflect and ask Jesus, where is he leading you in these things? In your relationship with him, to deepen it and to follow him wherever he goes. What are some practical ways he's leading you towards these? Jesus, today we continue to give you the floor here. We pray that you would continue to speak to us throughout our day, throughout our week, as we reflect on this and pursue practical ways to know you more and to be your disciple. So Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. In your precious name, amen. So I encourage you, I hope this is personal for you, and you can reflect on this in your own life. And I'd love to have some time where we can discuss this here this morning as well. So something we like to do is have some time where we can process this, we can discuss this in community, and really reflect on these things. So we have some discussion questions, and you can use these if they're helpful, or maybe just talk about what you feel like God is placing on your heart here this morning. But find some people around you, form a little group, invite people into your group, and we'll discuss this for about 10 minutes, and then we'll have one closing song here this morning.